This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty, and let's begin today in Washington, where Massachusetts Governor Charlie Baker testified before the Senate Health Committee as part of a rare bipartisan effort to fix a part of the Affordable Care Act. Not repeal and replace it, but fix it. Among the issues, what Congress needs to do to prop up and stabilize the individual health care markets. Governor Baker said the answer begins by following Massachusetts' example of embracing the spirit of bipartisanship.
Bipartisan cooperation is essential to achieving quality, affordable health care coverage and stabilizing any market.
WBUR's senior political reporter Anthony Brooks is our man in Washington today, and he joins us now. Hello, Mr. Brooks.
Hey, Meghna. Good to hear you.
It's good to have you. So remind us why Governor Baker was specifically in Washington and what he's trying to accomplish.
Right. Well, he's here with four other governors, Republicans and Democrats, to talk about a big challenge facing the Affordable Care Act right now, and that is the viability of the individual health care markets. They're doing okay in Massachusetts, but in some other parts of the country, they're not. And one of the reasons is that the Trump administration has threatened to stop paying so-called cost-sharing reimbursements, which are known as CSRs. And this is among the big reasons that markets in many rural states are beginning to collapse or at least shrink. For example, here's the committee chairman, Republican Senator Lamar Alexander, who says at the end of September last year, Blue Cross pulled out of the individual markets in Knoxville, Nashville, and Memphis, which he says affected everybody in those markets. Here's a bit of what he said.
Tennessee's insurance commissioner testified yesterday. She said our state's individual market is very near collapse. An insurer in Virginia announced it'll pull out of parts of the state for the 2018 plan year, leaving 62,000 Virginians facing the very real prospect of having zero options for insurance next year.
So, Meghna, that's the challenge, and it's a challenge that Baker and four other governors, Bill Haslam of Tennessee, Steve Bullock of Montana, John Hickenlooper of Colorado, and Gary Herbert of Utah were here to talk about.
So a mix, then, of Democrats and Republicans in terms of the governors there. So was there a consensus on what to do?
Yeah, on some of the big issues there were. For example, all four of these governors agreed that Congress needs to ensure that those cost-sharing reimbursements, those CSRs, continue. Without them, insurers are choosing to pull out of the market or to raise their rates dramatically. And that's even at risk of happening here in Massachusetts. Here's Charlie Baker talking about that.
The reason the CSRs are so important at this point in time is to create stability and a sense of consistency for people at a point in time when they are literally going to be purchasing coverage for the next year. If the CSRs aren't in place, they're going to have to reprice those products, and they're probably going to go up by somewhere around 20%.
And Baker said that would be a big jump, a big problem for families trying to plan their budgets. And of course, health insurance premiums are already way up for lots of people.
Yeah. Okay. So how then did the committee respond to Baker? And what's the significance that he was there front and center in Washington on this particular issue?
Well, Republicans and Democrats on the committee welcomed Baker's suggestions. As you suggested at the top of the segment, this is a rare moment of bipartisanship on the health care issue, which comes after that long, painful effort by Republicans to repeal the ACA, which failed. So now comes an effort by Lamar Alexander and other moderate Republicans to do something to fix it. The fact that Baker is here shows that he's emerged somewhat as a leader on this issue. Senator Elizabeth Warren introduced him, reminded the panel that he was served as the state Secretary of Health and Human Services, as well as Secretary of Administration and Finance, and spent a decade as president and CEO of Harvard Pilgrim Healthcare. Add that to Massachusetts' long quest for universal health coverage, and he has a lot of relevant expertise. So that's why he was here.
Absolutely. Relevant and possibly unique amongst any governor in the country. Now, Anthony, you just mentioned that Elizabeth Warren, Senator Warren, introduced Charlie Baker today. You were actually able to sit down with her after the hearing. So tell us more about what Senator Warren said.
Yeah, so this was a bit of a coincidence in that I had scheduled this interview with Senator Warren for today a while back, but it ended up coinciding with the hearing today. So we can listen to a bit of the conversation now. I started off by asking her if she's hopeful, if the bipartisan effort now underway to fix part of the ACA, rather than kill it, will be successful. Here's what she said.
Well, I certainly hope so. We have people, Democrats and Republicans, who are coming together and saying we can make some fixes to the Affordable Care Act to help stabilize these markets. And, you know, I think Massachusetts is truly the exemplary state for everyone on this. We recognized that if we really wanted to get coverage for everyone and try to help bring down costs, the only way that was going to happen is you wrote the law, and then you came back and you adjusted it, and you made some changes, and you tweaked this part, and you pulled that part, until you got it better and better and better. And today, basically, that's what Governor Baker was testifying about. He said, we have good, stable markets in Massachusetts. And here's the key, especially when you're talking to these folks in Washington. We do it in a way that has high-quality plans. We don't do it by saying, hey, it's a great market, only your insurance coverage isn't enough to cover you if you actually get sick.
The big news this week, President Trump's decision to end DACA, the program to help young immigrants who were brought into this country as kids illegally. Trump says now it's up to Congress to fix this problem. Will this provide the impetus for Congress to actually fix it?
I hope so. We have a bipartisan bill already on the floor, Democrats and Republicans, that would make the program for Dreamers permanent. And I hope that we can get it through both the Senate and the House. I want to be clear. I think that President Trump was morally wrong to say that we're going to throw 800,000 young people in this country out, that we're going to take students, we're going to take people who are working, people who want to serve this country, and throw them out of the only home most of them have ever known. And I've got colleagues here in the Senate on both sides, Democrats and Republicans, who say that's wrong. So the ball's been put in Congress's court. It's up to us to pass the DACA bill, and I want to be clear. I think we need to pass it right now, not 6 months from now, right now.
I want to ask you, sort of sticking with the response to what Trump did, if there's a defense of what he's did, it might be that he saw DACA as legally indefensible. And as we know, several states' attorney generals are suing, right? Okay, you're sort of shaking your head. But what's wrong with the idea that this is up to Congress to fix?
Well, I'm glad for Congress to fix this. Yeah. But the president didn't have to roll back protection. And let's be clear, if there's a challenge in the courts, then let the courts play that out. No court had forced him to roll back DACA. And then to say to all those whose anti-immigrant fears he has been stirring up for over a year now, I'm going to throw out a bunch of kids who weren't born in the United States. And I just think it's morally despicable.
I'd love to ask you a couple of big questions about where the Democrats sort of find themselves in this political moment. As you know, in the past 8 years, lots of lost seats, state house seats, governorships, congressional seats, the White House, the Senate. What happened to your party?
Well, what I care about is what is my party going to do right now?
Yeah.
And that is, I think our party has to show two things. One, what are our values? And the second is, are we really willing to get out there and fight? And I think healthcare has given us the perfect chance to do that. Let's face it, in America right now, there is one party that said, you know, it's fine to knock 25 million people off their healthcare coverage, drive up costs for tens of millions more, so that you could produce tax breaks for a handful of millionaires and billionaires. There's another party, the Democratic Party, that says healthcare is a basic human right, and we will find a way to get coverage for all Americans and a way to help bring down the cost before it bankrupts millions of families across this country. I think that's a good starting point for us. It's about our values, and it's about hardworking people across this country who play by the rules and who just want a level playing field, just a chance to build some security. And I think healthcare is a good place to start that.
One more thing, and I'm sure you saw this. In July, Mark Penn, former advisor to Bill and Hillary Clinton, wrote this in the New York Times. Candidates inspired by Senator Bernie Sanders, Senator Elizabeth Warren, and a host of well-funded groups have embraced a sharply leftist agenda. But the results of the voting booth have been anything but positive. Democrats lost over 1,000 legislative seats across the country and control of both houses of Congress during the Obama years. So this is an argument for the moderate wing of the Democratic Party.
No, it's not.
Okay, tell me what it is.
Give me a break. I mean, really. Healthcare. We just did this. Healthcare isn't some, what did he call it? A leftist, come on.
Sharply leftist ideas.
Sharply leftist ideas. Healthcare, not knocking 25 million people off healthcare, reducing the costs of student loans that are crushing millions of people across this country, strengthening and expanding Social Security, building a strong infrastructure in this country. Those are the things we're out there fighting for. We're fighting for a chance for everybody to be part of a 21st century economy. That's the heart of what it means to be a Democrat.
All right. Well, Senator Warren, thank you so much for taking time to talk to me. Real pleasure.
Thank you. Good to
thank
see you.
You. Good to see you.
Well, that's WBUR senior political reporter Anthony Brooks speaking with Massachusetts Senator Elizabeth Warren. Anthony is in Washington today. Interesting conversation there with the senator, Anthony. But I got to ask, did you ask her about a potential presidential run?
Well, so I sort of did and I didn't, because she always answers the same way. So this got cut out of the conversation, but this is what I said. I said, so I'm not going to ask you whether or not you're running for president because you always say the same thing. I'm focusing on my reelection campaign. She interrupted me and said, and the answer is no. So conversation went. And she gets asked that pretty much every time she sits down with people like me, and that answer is pretty much uniform, even though speculation abounds that she's preparing for a run in 2020.
Well, that's WBUR senior political reporter Anthony Brooks. He's in Washington today, bringing us up to speed on what Governor Charlie Baker testified regarding health care before the Senate, and his conversation with Senator Elizabeth Warren. By the way, we're going to put the entirety of Anthony's conversation with Senator Warren on our website. That'll be at radioboston.org. Anthony, thank you so much as always.
My pleasure, as always, Magna.
We'll be back. I'm Magna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.